You seem to misunderstand. I drugged everyone into this fight.
Ha-ha! On the note of that bottle falling over, welcome to Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons roleplay podcast.
What's this episode number?
I don't know.
Schmifty Schmive.
It's somewhere between 50 and, like, 60.
I'm gonna say 55.
The road on my roll 20 is 44.
That's not
this
right.
Would be either 52 or 53.
It's gonna be one of those. Any dang old way. When we last left these nerds, you had all deftly avoided getting horrible, horrible diseases and having this turn into Oregon Trail, which I was desperately trying to do.
Try again, bitch.
You're welcome.
I mean, Patton did catch the disease.
Yeah, and then you...
But he got better.
And then some people had good ideas and made interesting in-character decisions and then solved issues like fucking losers.
That's a good way to say John just pulled a miracle out of his ass.
No, it's a good way to say that you guys actually roleplayed and did things aside from just going, oh no, what do we do?
Oh, jeez.
Can we do that this time? I'm going to do that this time.
I want to see the alternate universe where we all got infected, John succeeded on all of them, it just becomes the Leper King.
Tune in next time for the Alt History Revival podcast.
Yo, can we just do that? Can I just retcon all of this? Because that sounds sick.
Well, partner,
literally.
I've been blessed by Papa Nurgle.
What's that, Specky?
Good shit.
Time to kill ourselves.
I've been waiting for you to say so. Alright, so, where were we?
You guys were on the banks of the Foss Reservoir. So, to rewind a little bit, you know, in the interim of Patton kind of going out and under, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's all going on over here, but what I would like to know is, during that downtime, how exactly is Elias dealing with the remains of these, you know...
How on a scale of
mossy
one to,
boys.
On a scale of one to very, how dead are they?
Dead.
On a scale of one to very, how dead is the?
They're
is,
dead.
Is the algae okay? I'm being thorough. The algae on their.
Oh,
backs,
you're
though.
Asking is the algae is a separate entity?
Yes.
No, it isn't. It's also dead.
Cool. Excellent. I kick the corpses into the river, and then I grab some of the algae.
Fantastic.
A lot of the algae.
Okay, you have one nether beast algae.
Okay, I'm gonna make some protein bars for Specky now.
Fantastic.
I'm not even kidding. Like, in universe, give me whatever the equivalent. I'm going to the oven, I'm cooking some, I'm saving some of this, but I'm taking some of the algae and I'm mixing it with a binding agent and I'm turning it into a mana-rich supplement bar for Specky.
Hang on, let me see. Under alchemical items, is there anything that, no.
What the fuck? Give me more talent shards.
I'm not giving you more talent shards, those things are fucked.
I need my fix, give me more talent shards.
Stop,
give me my rock.
Stop.
Give me my rock.
What are you, have never used one.
I have, though.
When?
Rewind the tapes. People listening, point out that one time that I totally used these.
I think you did use it once.
I did. I don't remember when, but I did.
Two talent shards. Go for it.
Yes. How many more?
Two.
Excellent. How many more?
So we got four, right?
Another one.
Yeah, I was going to... Fine. So, any dang old way...
You already said that.
Shut up. So, that's what you're doing here. Patton, as you wake up and sort of get your bearings about you, you do still have some of the after effects, and you certainly don't feel particularly good.
Well, that's par for the course.
Yeah. You know, it's not a great feeling. And, John's little rosary there on his chest is starting to glow with a weird sort of dark shimmer. you know, like it's got one of those heat shimmers around it at all times, but instead of like just kind of distorting, it's just kind of inky darkness.
I mean, that's probably fine.
Is that Patton's infrared vision, or is that plainly obvious to everybody?
Oh, that's plainly obvious.
All right. I'm going to just take a closer look at it. I don't want to fuck with it, because that might be bad.
Okay.
Jerry learned something. Guys, make a note of it. Jerry didn't fuck with the thing.
Wait, he's looking at something and isn't fucking with it.
I explicitly do not let Jerry fuck with it.
That's a good idea.
Several billion Jerrys in the Jerryverse sigh.
Basically, all you can really get from looking at it, and I'm assuming, you know, you guys kind of get moving at some point, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that he did somehow manage to make a magical item, like a pretty standard one at that. Like, that is a legitimate enchantment. Like, it's not a weird sideways enchantment. It's not like a weird parasite thing. It's just an enchantment.
Well, ain't that just the darndest thing?
It took the disease, it took the magical essence of the disease, and it enchanted it.
Nice work, John. Quick thinking.
So, where are you guys headed to now?
Well, first things first, I'm going to take some of this algae, and I'm going to give it to my students and have them start researching it however they want to do that. I'm not a real teacher.
Going full on Hagrid, huh?
Dr. Adelholm, what are we supposed to do? I don't know, kids. Figure it out.
So, again, as you're moving, like early results are going to show that it's very, very efficient as a mana producer.
Mm-hmm.
Even in its current, you know, dead state.
Like
really.
A sponge.
Well, kind of the opposite, but it's very good at producing mana via, like, sort of a pseudo-photosynthesis. It's not really the same thing explicitly, but yeah. Give these things some direct sunlight, some oxygen, and some, you know, stuff. Like some water, and boom, you got mana.
Well, now I'm wondering why the hell this stuff didn't spread all over the lake.
Kind of was. Well, or at least a good amount of it. It was just very concentrated into these little guys.
I'm going to be careful with it then. We're going to make sure that this doesn't get spread, because it could turn into a real invasive species kind of thing.
So the algae dudes, they were just like eating it on the lake, just gobbling up all that algae?
Well, yeah, that's another thing, is that it's these sort of things are going to be used to dealing with species that are, you know, magical in nature as their consumers. But it's not really going to have such an easy time building that relationship with non-magical creatures. Also, that reservoir is not exactly the most well connected to everything, and is in fact kind of stagnant from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, so my thinking here is I'm going to keep it containment procedure. It doesn't leave the lab. Just because I don't want it to spread.
Makes sense.
As in,
to
like,
me.
No war paint from Mavala Jr.
Aw.
Yeah, as in put down that mixture of war paint. No Chia head, you know, fucking statues to grow mana matrixes and put it out on the porch. Stays in the lab.
Aww. Aww. But that would be fun.
And no fun allowed.
Is there a way for me to tangibly like put like actual tapes of my footage out here?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to give either Dr. Robo or Patton the film of the fight to review, to be like, okay. Like, just analyze it, see, we could have done this better, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Sure.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. And I guess this will be as good an opportunity as any to, like, you know, give some feedback. Like, Jerry, you know, I'll say to John, you know, John, if you would have aimed right here, that guy would have gone down in one hit.
Yeah, John, Patton is pointing 15 feet to the right.
I don't appreciate y'all's criticism.
No, I'm just saying, John. You've been doing great so far. You know, just adjust a little bit. And there you go. You can just take that floating plus two for the next time we need it.
Okay.
Oh, that... See, good.
I get it.
One, you actually remembered to do the thing. Two, you worked it in realistically. I like it. So, while you guys are reviewing the tapes, you're just going to hear, on the side panel of the truck, just a... You guys got a minute? Hey, Patton, you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing much better now that I don't have all these crystals growing off me. By the way, where'd those all go? I only got a few here.
I think most of them went into that on John's neck.
Hmm. About how many? I know that I grabbed a few before I passed out. How many of these nasty red crystals do I have?
You got like three.
All right, that's good. That's a good number. All right, so I'm gonna see. Once I have a chance, I'm gonna hit one of these with a hammer.
Patton, quizzically looking at an intricate mana crystal, smashes it with a hammer.
Right now,
I see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go over to my workstation if I can, take a big old rubber mallet, and bam.
See what happens. Okay, so by creating a barrier, so it doesn't fly everywhere.
Yeah, sure. So Alonza is standing behind you. And, like, as you start to do that, she goes, wait, what are you? Okay, so you smack the crystal with the hammer, mm-hmm. right? And you see a strong puff of, like, pure, twisted mana energy just kind of rushes at your face. And you see it, like, tink off of the eyes on your mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, try to get... into the front, too?
Maybe I should have done this under a fume hood.
And it just keeps doing that until it eventually dissipates. Like it was trying to reconnect with you.
Interesting. Alright, I have some fun ideas I want to do with the others.
If he reaches to hammer another one, I'm grabbing his arm.
I was literally going to hammer another one under the fume hood.
I grab his arm to stop him.
Okay, so... One, you might not want to do that right now. And two, thank you, Elias, there.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting closer to my neck of the woods, and things like that are going to probably get more common.
Oh, cool.
Look, I'm just saying, compared to a lot of the stuff you've been dealing with, we're getting into more known threats. You understand me? She's going to look over at Patton, look over at Elias. You don't have to try to do everything alone, you know.
Well, I mean, I wasn't exactly trying to do everything alone out there, but, it sort of ended up being that way.
You weren't alone, Elias. You had little bro and littler bro.
Well, yes, and I do appreciate that, Patton.
I don't know how well versed you are in some of these threats that are out here.
Well, I suppose it would depend on the threat.
They're not going to be handled in the same way that you would handle a person. Some of them don't have a logic to them. Some of them you can't dissect and figure out how they work.
I think I would find issue with that premise on its face. If...
Some of them, if you tried to dissect them, literally evaporate.
That just means we don't know how to dissect them correctly.
Right. So, all I'm saying is, be a bit more careful, please.
Yes, well, I'm not the one hitting crystals with a hammer.
And I appreciate that. However, points over to Mavala Jr.
First of all, how dare you?
I believe there was a certain someone who made a big show about how ridiculous it was to attempt to commune with nature and everything like that, and now has a displacer beast pet? Do we even know what you did? Do you know how badly that pact could have gone?
I have a few working theories.
Do you know how badly that pact could have gone?
Well... no, since I don't have any data on pacts, as you call it, going badly. So I can't exactly say how badly it could have gone. If you'd like to compare notes on the nature of direct mana-to-mana semi-sentient interfaces, I'd be more than happy to discuss it with you.
That sure is a lot of words.
Look, all I'm saying is that to all of you except John, a little bit more thinking before action might be a bit nice.
Wait, I'm sorry, is she implying that John can't think, or that John thinks the most?
That's up to you.
Trying to put on a show here, lady. Sometimes you gotta spice it up.
So she's going to go wide-eyed, look at you. Son. Child. Do you have any idea? Any idea whatsoever? How many children I have seen die because of that exact mindset?
Be better if you got it on footage.
Jesus right. Christ. I thought we were past ambulance chaser Jerry.
Well, I mean, I'm getting raked over the coals here.
Look, don't get it wrong. I'm not trying to play some sort of den mother role or anything like that. It's just that I would very much like to go see my people, and especially my son again. And I kind of can't do that if you die.
I certainly plan on living, and I plan on doing my best to keep everyone else alive.
Yeah, me too.
I appreciate the efforts. But please, maybe next time, a bit quicker on the barrier here for when your friend here decides to just slam a random crystal with a hammer.
Look, Patton has hammers all over the place. There's no way to find them all. I didn't think he would break one of only three, now two, very curious and possibly very useful crystals with a hammer.
Now think of all the things that we learned, Elias, from me breaking this crystal.
Look, Alonza, all jokes aside, I know it might seem like we're not taking this seriously, but rest assured we are. We've seen quite a lot as well. A lot of leeches. A lot of people turning into I don't know what that thing was. But sometimes you just gotta add a little bit of levity, so we'll be a bit more careful.
Thank you. Thank you. I genuinely appreciate that.
All right, so we're not moving, right?
No, you are.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, okay. You can watch. It's a big trailer. Like, somebody's driving and then somebody can walk in. There's doors separating the chambers, remember?
Yeah, at any point, okay. If you guys want to do scenes of you guys in the trailer, I would assume that you would just have, like, Dr. Robo driving.
Yes, well, right now I've got a big tank, like a fish tank. That I'm growing algae in sort of a contained manner. And every so often, I'm going to skim it and fashion it into little Specky snacks that Specky can eat like popcorn.
You're just going to give him talent shards?
No, those don't count for talent shards. Oh, okay. That's just like a... The talent shards were just... Elias learned how to make Specky snacks.
Okay.
2 points for being.
I really
cool.
wish that you would. I really wish you wouldn't call it that.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep calling them Specky Snacks.
That's a good name for the snacks. The Specky Snacks.
Yeah, they're like little algae balls that Specky could just.
And
like...
you guys are currently in a goddamn mystery machine. So
yes, I'm perfectly aware of this.
So anyway, yeah, the PhD students are doing whatever PhD students do.
Probably sleeping.
Yeah. They had a long day.
How is Mavala Jr. holding up?
Mavala Jr. is doing great. Basically, being a... from what you've seen, being like a bound creature that is kind of, you know, like... It's pretty much entirely mellow. Like, it literally will not do anything that you don't particularly want it to do.
Cool. I got a brain slave.
Yeah. maybe a bit disconcerting.
I mean, so, only a little.
Anyway, as you guys start to get up towards this national grassland area, so the scenery does start to change from sort of flat and barren to a little bit more wild.
Mm-hmm.
As you start to enter these grasslands, but it's been very flat. It's been very flat and very straight for a while. But as you get into these grasslands, you do notice that the mana concentration is definitely workable. And as a result, there are definitely signs of life around here. Anybody who wants to can give me a perception check.
Can I do nature instead?
Sure.
I'm looking specifically for what the primary mana producing plant and or substrate is around here.
Cool.
Nat 20.
What the
Nat 20.
Nat 20.
Fantastic.
Nat 1.
All right. Definitely kelp.
What?
That Woo! Green stuff? Kelp. Jiron's seen kelp before. And if that ain't kelp, he don't know what is. Now, come to think of it, he doesn't know what kelp is.
Identifying plants with Jiron.
Yep, it's kelp.
When he says it's kelp, I'm going to rub a smudge off the window so that he can see through it better.
Right, so as you're driving around, what you're going to notice is a lot of these grassy areas have these small, like, almost cattail-looking flowering protrusions coming out of the grasses, but they're currently closed. However, just by looking at them and by cross-examining some of your notes, you can identify what these things most likely are.
And they are?
Which is, they're a type of small flowering grass that produces mana and also vents mana via fairly uncontrolled chaotic bursts. However, it doesn't happen during the daytime. During the daytime, they absorb the energy and mana in a similar way to that, what's it called? That was on the Nightmare Monstrosities. I can't remember the names of plants. This algae.
Yeah.
Oh.
It operates in a similar way to that algae. However, if it starts to get dark around here, you could start to see a pretty big light show.
Interesting.
Cool.
Okay, that gives me some information to work with for stuff like this.
And it also would let you know you really don't want to be in one of these grasslands when it goes to night.
Yes, or at least not in a cleared section of it.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the grass.
Right.
That also lets you know why you haven't really seen much in the way of animal life.
Because it keeps getting zapped.
Non-magical animal life. However, you do see, again, on that Nat 20, a couple of pretty obvious hellhound tracks.
Yeah. Because, see, here's the thing with this stuff. Is that means that this place is going to be nocturnal predators on steroids. Because, like, let's say you're a magical creature that requires mana to fly. Like, you know, there's no way a lizard, like a wyvern or whatever, could actually support its weight on just those wings that uses mana to fly.
Just like Patton.
To assist it.
Yep.
Right? So, in the daytime, these things aren't going to be moving around. There's not enough ambient mana. But when at night, when all these field flowers open up and start blooming, there's going to be a huge surge of energy, which means that anything that consumes mana is going to be out there trying to get as much as it can, and anything that consumes the things that consumes mana are going to be out there bevied up by the extra ambient mana in the atmosphere.
Correct. Which exactly means correct,
big
actually.
Things come out at night.
Right. So, anybody else with that information, would anybody else like to roll any perception checks? Just to look around the general area and see if you can see anything.
I mean,
as you're driving through.
Sure. I'll look specifically out the window.
Yeah, I'm letting everyone know that to be on the lookout for large animal tracks and large dens.
11.
As we move through here.
11 total?
Yep. Yep, it's
can I roll what a perception check on that as well?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I guess based on that nature check.
Yeah, if you're looking specifically for animal tracks.
Yeah,
no.
Large. Oh, okay. Things. Concealed. Things. Nat 1.
Nat 1.
Yep, it's kelp.
You see the footprints of what may be a large bipedal form of kelp.
Uh-oh.
Fuck. I got a 12 on perception off
I'm
the
I'm gonna go ahead
roll.
And take that nat 1 as, no, I don't spot any obvious tracks.
Yes.
Okay.
The truck madness is starting to get to you, maybe. There is wisdom in truck madness.
Truck madness.
I would like to take a stop, actually, if we can.
So, on those perception rolls, that means none of us really saw anything dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. Besides the grass?
No.
Okay. No. All right. Elias, do you know anything about the air here? If it might be toxic?
What? No. It should not be toxic.
Okay, then I'm gonna... You were about to, like, call for a stop.
Yeah, I want to take a quick stop. If we can find... I don't want a big patch of this grass, but if there's, like, a small patch off isolated, I'd like to get some samples.
Yeah, and this is, like, all a right. pocket of the old world, so I'm piggybacking
yeah,
off
sure.
that.
Give me a nature roll. Elias.
28.
Okay, on a 28, as you start to drive through these places a bit, you find that actually one of the best spots to do that is there's this like old pseudo quarry
mm-hmm.
off one of these stops. Looks like it was long abandoned even before everything went to garbage. But, you know, there are still some places where the earth was just so utterly destroyed that it's, you know, not, it's taken quite a long time for everything to get back to normal. So there are just, you know, patches here and there of that around this old, rundown, broken mining, like, milling facility. Really small thing, though. Like, it's a very small, like, some sort of stone quarry or something like that.
All right, so what I'm going to do when I'm harvesting these, and I think this is important, is I'm going to look at the physical structure. It's basically a cattail, right?
Right, so before we do that, so you guys are going to park the truck.
I'm
Who
not
are you taking out with you?
PhD students and one bodyguard.
Okay.
And Patton.
Yeah, Patton can come as long as he promises not to touch anything.
Oh. Okay.
No promises, my friend.
So you're standing
can
in front
I roll
of
against
a...
the party on that?
Yeah, no. So you're down, you know, this small dirt road. Not very far from the main road at all. There is a, you know, like one story tall, maybe a, you know, like 50 foot long small building that is long collapsed, you know, just corrugated iron and all
I'm
that.
I'm telling everyone to stay massively on guard.
Yeah. So, you can see a small patch of this stuff growing off near this quarry, and this is basically, you know, like the one of the most isolated patches that you've been able to find.
Yes.
And so one thing of particular interest is you're going to, you know, go down over to this patch and immediately, just instantaneously, Brandel is going to just grab one of them.
Oh, I'm going to grab his arm as fast as I can.
Okay, so you grab it away from him and right as he like shakes the little cattail thing like that, like as a result of you grabbing his arm.
Yeah, I'm gonna. It's gonna. Pop
it's just
open.
Going to ignite.
Yeah,
and it's going to burst into flames. It's pretty similar to like a torch, but it looks like it has some sort of defense system where it just vents all of its mana.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
And this actually makes a fairly sizable blast. So, hold up.
I wanted to roll acrobatics.
It's gonna miss you both.
Okay.
As you deftly get out of the way, but
I still want to roll
this
acrobatics.
This thing just
though.
Pops. Yeah, sure.
Because what I'm going to do here is, to avoid this blast igniting the others, I want to pull out my knife, cut the stem at the bottom, and then toss the spent and burning pod into the dirt.
Okay.
That is a 20.
20 total? Yeah.
Okay.
When you cut it, what you notice is the... Yeah, you cut it, you throw away the pod, it sort of fizzles out into the dirt, and then the spot where it was cut sort of lights up like a candle and starts burning down the stalk.
Right. So I'm gonna remove that at the base so it doesn't ignite the others.
Yeah.
And now, to describe how I'm going to harvest these without... this is in character, by the way, out loud. Now, to describe how I'm going to harvest these without activating the very obvious defense mechanism...
Let me guess, like this. And Serena is just going to reach towards the very bottom of the stem, quickly cut it, making like zero motion, and then just lift up the stalk.
Yes. However, it would also behoove you to grab the top, and I'm going to grab the top where it is starting to sizzle as it goes down to split the pod, and twist to close.
Oh, cut off the flow of mana.
Yes, at the collection point.
Makes sense.
Right, so we're going to need about, how many are here? All of them.
I believe the amount that are here is 1, 2, 3, 4, and he starts pointing over at the horizon, 6 billion, 7 billion.
In this single pack.
Enough.
I want every student to collect 2. So 6 total, and I'll take 4.
Dr. Adelheim!
Yes?
My gloves!
They're on fire! Take off your gloves. Put them in the dirt.
But I liked these gloves.
You liked those gloves.
Aww.
Since right. Elias said to be on guard, can I do a stealth roll and try and like shield us from any potential predators?
Do you mean to like detect to see if something's trying to sneak up?
No, that stealth makes perfect sense to just try and magically hide their signature.
Yeah, because we got an intern going, Dr. Adelhelm, which is kind of not what we want happening.
It's a very red shirt line.
Well, we don't do too good here, folks. We got a 9.
Total?
9 total?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to help much at all. But, so, they're all going about their harvesting.
I did tell the guard who's with us to be on guard.
Yeah. You
know? I forget his name. Literally, both me and Elias would have forgotten his name.
Which one do you want?
Whichever one was more capable.
They're both pretty capable, but are you looking for serious or laid back?
Serious.
Okay, then Veroth.
So if he needs to roll checks or anything for this.
No, he's on guard.
All right.
And, Serena... He's got this under control. Mavala is spending a lot of time building a small harvester, which is definitely going to take more time than it would have taken to just harvest them.
Yeah, but it's a learning opportunity.
Right, and Brandel is very enthusiastic and very bad at this.
Yeah, so he's probably burned down like 3 or 4 of them already.
Oh yeah.
I'm having Specky pull them up at the root when he sets one off so that they don't explode.
Also, as it turns out, that little device that Maval was making was actually just a harness. And she is going to then attempt to fit it onto Mavala Jr.
Oh, good.
And there are small, little, tiny scissors that go on those weird tentacly tendrils.
Yeah, I'm going to commune with Mavala Jr. to just use the regular tentacles, ignore the scissors, and pull up some. And hand all right. them to, what's her face? Mavala.
She looks very, very noticeably upset by this.
I don't know anything about artificery, so we need to leave pretty soon. And I expect full reports, not that long,
I don't really care about, you know, I don't care about formatting or page length so long as I can read it, on potential uses and dangers of these pods. Detailed reports, people.
Yes, yes.
All right, let's start heading back then.
All right, so, Patton, were you wanting to do anything in particular during this downtime?
Yes, I was going to see if I might be able to dig up one of these plants whole.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put on Dr. Patton's patent pending combusting cattail precaution gloves. Also, it's just like really big gloves.
Give a pair of those to one of my interns.
Okay, I mean, they're basically just wet gloves, but sure.
You just dipped some gloves in some water. Some dirty, dirty quarry water.
Just dunk. And so I'm going to see if I can kind of dig up and see if it still combusts when it detects something messing with its roots, or if it's only like on the above ground area, and see if it might do something there.
That's actually smart. Give me an Arcana check.
Yeah, if it has a signaling system at night, that would make sense to go through the roots.
18 on Arcana.
So on an 18 on Arcana, you can see that nothing really happens when you mess with its roots. It really just does seem to be like the pod itself is just volatile.
Now, when that one that Elias, the student touched earlier, when it expelled all of its mana,
Brandle.
did it commit like plant suicide? Like, is that one just dead?
No. Actually, no.
No, it would have heated the seeds, which prepares them to germinate.
Yes. During that process, the seeds all kind of get sprayed all over the place.
Ooh.
You jacked the plant
expelled
off.
Expelled very fast. And
I wish you wouldn't say
basically every direction. It's actually a very effective means of seed transfer. The seeds are fireproof.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, I'm going to see if I can uproot this plant and see if I can find something suitable to... I basically want to have this plant to test on and do anything we want inside a safe place, someplace not flammable in the car here.
Yeah.
In our testing area. Yeah, makes sense. We have our own little potted plant.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, yeah, and I'd like to get more seeds because basically what I'm going to use at least one of these for is to try and dissect it so that I can get the seeds in a state where they haven't been burned.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bet they're coated in all sorts of interesting goo.
Yeah. All right. So, as you guys are doing all of this, it is starting to get fairly late into the day. You've been out and about for a while.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's starting to get to, you know, like mid-afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you do start to notice that all around you, you can sort of start to hear a little faint, like, sizzle and a couple of pops.
Any crackles?
How many snaps?
As things are starting to get more lively as it's starting to get dark.
All right, so we need to move and get to somewhere that's away from all of this, or at least in a very, very safe place.
Okay, so what has John been doing this whole time?
Taking a nap in the car.
Makes sense. Just checking.
What has Jerry been doing?
Attempting to shield everybody magically.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
He tried to put up a warding thing.
He was so stealthy, I forgot that he was there.
Yep. So, as you guys get back to the car and everything, which I'm assuming, are you doing that? What are you going to do?
Going back to the car, making sure all these pods are not going to explode.
Okay. So, as you guys start driving down, who is driving, by the way? Is Patton currently driving?
I don't trust Patton to drive. Can Dr. Robo drive?
I mean, they can if you want.
I assume Patton is working on the plant.
Yeah, I'm messing with the plant, and I put the crystals on hold for now as I'm messing with the plant here, so I'll let Dr. Robo drive.
Okay, so hang on one second. Ooh, that's not good.
Dr. Robo drives into a fucking pole.
Oh, no, that isn't what that was, but this is what that was. Oh, she's great at driving.
Oh, okay.
She hits the only tree.
So, Night is starting to set down pretty quick. It's, you know, you're seeing the sun start to set, and it's very flat around here, so you can see, you know, just off into the distance as things start to light up.
Mm-hmm. I want to roll perception.
Sure.
As things are lighting up, I've got a theory I want to test.
Sure.
Ooh, that's really good. Wait. 32.
Okay, 32. What exactly are you looking for?
I am looking for any patterns in the way these things erupt. That is, any... So, like, you know how if there's a series of lights that's blinking in series, that mm-hmm. you could see any lights that are blinking out of series very, very easily?
Mm-hmm.
I.e., these are big mana signatures, and if they're all kind of going off in waves or in bursts that make a pattern... Anything that doesn't fit the pattern would be easy to spot from above,
right,
by predators.
Right. So what you see is it's sort of it very much does just organically resemble, you know, flowers that bloom during sunlight.
So it's just white noise.
Yeah, it's just pure white noise.
Okay.
There's no distinct pattern. It doesn't seem like they're communicating at all. However, on that, what you do see is off in the distance on a couple of these sections, you do see certain, like, lights suddenly go out or sudden shifts in the light as things very clearly are starting to move.
Right. So I'm just going to radio to every single car in the convoy that everyone needs to be on full alert, and absolutely no one can is to let mana out or give any sort of signal outside.
Okay. So yeah, you guys have been kind of working on a one car out thing.
Right.
Where Dr. Robo, you have Dr. Robo's car out, and you've got the SUV you got from Red in. And you're sort of rotating who's been driving what.
Right.
But yeah, whoever, the person currently driving that car does get that radio signal. So, what you're going to notice as you're starting to get more into the heart of this place, as it starts to get, you know, to dusk, is you see a couple of rustles, and then you see just a massive swath of these things explode. And then you see something just go straight up into the air, sort of on that heap.
Mm-hmm.
Just this black shadow swoop down and grab something off in the distance, about the size of like a small cow, and then Ooh. Fly back, circling around to where it was.
Can I try and do a perception there with the heat vision on the goggles there?
Sure. Anybody who wants to.
All right, I'll roll perception on that.
All right.
Whoops. 29.
10. I rolled 13 plus... Oh, yeah, so 24.
24? Anybody who got over a 20? And especially... So, for Patton, yeah, that's a wyvern.
Yeah.
For Elias, that's a large wyvern.
Oh. How large and of what element? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So you can't really tell the explicit element from just, you know, getting a look at it because it's dark.
Right.
But you could probably guess fire.
Yeah, that was my...
That's probably the best guess.
Yeah.
You're not entirely sure, though. And most notably, it is very large. Like, this is definitely the apex predator in the area.
Oh, man. Does it have horns, though?
Does it have horns? Yes.
Oh, man. I'm like Rocket Raccoon. I want those body parts. I need those horns.
That is an entirely legitimate line for you to take.
I mean, I kind of, there's a part of Elias that goes full monster hunter, like, you do realize that this is an example of a fully grown wyvern in the new... This thing has probably been around since, I don't know, the portal opened?
Yeah,
and has probably somehow managed to survive this entire time and is now thriving?
Yeah.
I want to study it.
That's an entirely legitimate thing to do.
Yeah, probably kill it.
I mean,
this is a good discussion to actually have in character. So,
actually, are wyverns strong? I have no. What's a wyvern, Dan? Can I roll nature on that?
You don't have to roll nature on a wyvern.
Let me just get a little. You know, like the Pokedex voice.
Yep, it's kelp.
Kelp dragon. So, the primary difference between a wyvern and a dragon is number of legs. You see,
Red
wyverns
starts
are the
screaming because the other primary difference is how one's a dumb fucking animal and the other is the king of the goddamn planet.
Yes. So, wyverns are those things that you commonly see referred to as dragons. They are lizard-like, they walk on all fours, their front two appendages are also their wings. So they got two hind legs, two wings.
So they don't walk on all fours, they walk on all twos.
It's like a pterodactyl. It's like a fucking pterodactyl. A dragon has four legs and wings on its back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's got back legs, front, you know, arm bits, arm, paw, hand, legs, and then also wings. This thing's wings are its arms, like a bat.
Yeah. And I want to... When you say large, do you mean like size of a house?
Yeah.
So we're going to kill
wyverns,
it.
Wyverns aren't massive. They aren't colossal. But, you know, ordinarily they're... You know, they're fairly large. They're, you know, definitely larger than any other, like, air-based predator other than an actual dragon. But, you know, they're not, like, the size of a fucking city or some stupid shit like that.
I mean, here's a thought. Side quest, let's hunt a wyvern.
You know, just imagine a fully grown male African elephant, slightly bigger, breathes fire.
And flies.
Yes. So really not like an elephant at all.
Right.
I mean, it's still got the trunk, though, right?
No.
So, again, here's a thought. Side quest, let's hunt a wyvern.
Do it in character!
Now, Elias, he is. I am 110% down with hunting down a wyvern, but...
No, I mean, where is the point where you guys transferred to talking in character?
Literally so, 4 seconds
exposition...
ago.
Do we have to say we're talking
in character? Let me give you the... You all see the black shadow of the wyvern fly up into the air, swoop down, grab something, and it seems to be using the heat from these burn grasses, or whatever the hell you want to call them.
Burn grasses.
Burn thistles.
I call them specky pods.
Shut up. It seems to be using those as updrafts to generate lift in lieu of actually having a high perch.
Right.
All right, so Jerry's going to let out an elongated rub my face a little bit. Elias?
Yes, absolutely, Jerry.
What is that?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me if I wanted to catch it.
I know you do. What is it? So I know.
That would be a... fairly large, fairly ancient, well, ancient in relative terms, wyvern, likely of the fire variety. And I do so dearly want to catch and or contain, probably cull is the best, I mean...
I think kill's what you're looking
the
at.
The best idea. Well, kill implies a sort of
death?
Impartiality that I don't subscribe to.
Yeah, so, yeah, the population control.
Not population control. More like danger control.
That's
I'm not
a good
sure.
Point,
if
though.
You...
What'll happen to the natural ecosystem if we take out the big bad dragon thing?
Well, John, there is no natural ecosystem here.
I mean, Wyvern's eating something. Like an ecosystem to me.
In the sense that an invasive species or a rat in your house is an ecosystem. Eventually it'll start chewing on the wires.
Elias is going to feel a hand on his shoulder as Alonzo is just going to turn and look at him. You don't have to try and pretend like you don't just want to take down a wyvern. I can see that grin on your face from here.
Take down, it's more the after. Yes, while I admit that the thought of having the opportunity to hunt an apex predator does excite a certain naturalistic desire in me, it's really the thought of the science that can be gained afterwards. We have absolutely no idea how these things, or this thing, has been living here since presumably the portal opened, or how it even got here to begin with.
You know, Elias? I say that thing's been living here for a real long time. Let's go fix it.
Now, here's the question. Now, how can we even... What's the plan? Now, I'm 110% behind killing this thing for fun and profit, but how are we supposed to get at it? It's pretty high Patton, up there.
I suppose that would be where you and I come in, and actually, John, as well.
Dan, with my previous perceptual, is there pretty much, are there any other flying predators that I saw kind of around there, or is it just this guy?
Yeah. No, yeah, you can definitely see a couple of, like, smaller sort of flying predators, maybe some sort of, like, little imps.
Well, there we go. Why don't we hunt an imp?
Along those lines, there are definitely other flying predators, along with, you know, there are, you do see a couple of just, like, mundane hawks.
Don't worry about that, Zep. He doesn't mean you.
Really, though, as you guys are starting to discuss this, Alonzo is going to just kind of slap Elias on the back, just walk back towards the PhD students and just say, "You're really starting to think like an elf. I like it. Look, we'll hold down the fort here. We can't exactly leave these ones alone in case it just decides to ignore you and come after the easier targets, you know, like they do. Please tell me you thought of that."
Of course I thought of that.
Okay, good.
I actually did think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of rule one of one of these hunting expeditions, is that you don't leave your weakest members sort of unprotected.
Well, I was going to have our two armed and very capable guards
protect them.
Protect
while we walk into this almost caravan certain
while
death.
While we plan to not tonight, obviously. Patton, not
Ooh,
tonight.
Actually, hold on, I have an idea. All right, so I just thought of this
for
now.
This.
So, all right, how easily would I be able to make a another, so I want to make a kind of tracking device, something that's giving off a very specific, either like a mundane like wavelength that we could pick up with a radio.
Make it, you can make a transceiver.
I like the way you're thinking. Are we fighting this thing in the daytime?
Yeah, I mean, going up in the air, trying to take it down at night, terrible idea.
No way.
Terrible idea.
So we don't gotta worry about it flying.
What do you think?
That would have been so cool.
You think we're stupid?
You guys could have made parachutes and you could have ridden the updrafts.
Yeah, and we could have gotten torn to literal shreds in the air.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you hate fun.
Listen, Daniel. If we're anything, we're capable and intelligent.
I mean, Jerry's going to last this thing to the ground, and I'm going to convince John to ride it with me.
So anyway, so I'm going to see if I can try and whip up a tracking device and see if I might be able to stick it to it somehow.
Yeah, if we can do that tonight, that would be good.
Yeah, okay. So I want to keep an eye on this thing and see if we can find if it goes down to feed or anything, well, any point where it gets close
you
to
can
the ground.
Just, can't you attach a tracking thing to little brother and just have it like eat little
That's
brother?
What I mean. Well, okay.
No.
Now listen here, Elias. Little brother's
you'll
not going
get
anywhere.
It back.
So what I'm thinking is I want to keep an eye on this thing and see a point in which it's preoccupied with killing something.
It's pretty
violently.
Far away from you guys right now. Like you would need to actually get around to that. However, one other thing is that If you're going to want to do that, you're going to actually need to modify your crossbow or build something new.
Yeah, because I'm thinking is, if it... So do wyverns at night, Elias, do they ever rest on the ground, or are they constantly airborne until they go back to their roost or their den?
It will be airborne and hunting until it catches a sufficient amount of prey to sustain itself through the night and possibly store for later back at its roost. It won't make any rests for any significant period of time. It's bevied up and sort of charged and energized by the ambient mana in the air. It doesn't really need to rest at this point. The only way that it would need to rest is if it was expending a large amount of mana, and trust me, you don't want to make it expend a large amount of mana at night in a field full of fire.
Now, do you know if wyverns hunt via sight and smell and hearing, or do they hunt more by detecting magical, you know, detecting mana and other things like that?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. So both?
Yes, to all of them.
Okay, so it's hunting on all wavelengths.
It is not particularly near nor far-sighted. It is not particularly dull of hearing. It is not particularly dull of smell or smelling capabilities. It is an apex predator in every sense of the word.
They're also vengeful.
Well, yes, right. There are stories of wyverns stalking... not even prey, but stalking would-be hunters for days, if not weeks.
A wyvern would be the type of creature to be going through an area and then just see some kind of creature in the distance and just think, man, I really want to kill that for no real reason or benefit. What kind of psychopath?
Like some kind of psychopath.
So, now I vetoed the idea of Lil Bro being used, but Littler Bro does have a bond with Lil Bro that could easily track him. We could send a littler bro up there to be bait and then track him using Lil Bro's... Because remember, littler bro goes right out from underneath Lil Bro. They've got a connection between the two so they can sync up.
All right, so how about you whip up some sort of mechanical or technological tracking device. I'll have Specky make some tracking spores. And we'll attach both to littler brother and send him up with some bait.
You better make sure that thing doesn't know that you're the one who did it. If it makes the connection between it and you, you're done.
We should most certainly... They're not dumb, but they're not particularly... They're not sentient, but they're very close.
Very close.
From
the driver's seat. Guys, what exactly do you want me to be doing with this while you're doing that? The truck?
We'll need to find a good place to park it.
Yeah, I don't particularly want to be in the direct path of a wyvern. Can't say that that's on my to-do list.
Well, we'll be taking one of the other vehicles out. Probably the SUV.
Yeah, because we've got to get a little bit closer to be able to send a littler bro up there.
Do you want me to build some sort of, ballista on it?
I could build a ballista
on it. Like, to hunt the wyvern.
I can mount
a ballista to it.
If you would like to get an angry wyvern to flip this caravan over and kill you all, that might be a good idea.
I think we should put a ballista on it just in general.
See, I like the way that John is thinking here.
I'm going to go ahead and veto any ballista ideas.
What?
No, John, what we can do here is we can combine our powers to form a sort of trap, right? So I've got this chain.
No. You're coming with us. Do you think that Patton and I can take down a wyvern ourselves?
I never said we weren't coming with you. I'm saying we're going to work on the trap while you guys are working on your deal.
Wait, are you fighting this thing tonight?
No.
I thought you were just tracking it.
Just tracking it.
Okay. So, Patton, How exactly are you going to attempt to set up this tracking mechanism?
Well, so the plan is to have him ingest Littler Bro.
How big is Littler Bro?
Smaller than Lil Bro. He's pretty small. He's only about like 1.5 by 1.5 feet. He's pretty tiny. He's big enough to hit someone kind of hard.
The problem is that this thing, number one, this thing normally goes for larger prey, like cattle or cattle-sized creatures. You're going to have a hard time getting it to just eat.
That's what I'm thinking Littler Bro. Like I said, he's small enough to be able to hurt something a good amount. So
you might have better luck at using Littler Bro as a delivery mechanism for the tracker rather than the tracker itself.
I mean, we don't also really need tangible bait either, you guys. Consider the fact that I can wave my fingers and put up whatever sort of prey it wants right in front of it. It's just so true. You can see me.
Well, the only issue there is that, again,
it'll see through it. These things know how to deal with charms, illusions, those sort of things. Otherwise, you could just make it go in circles with any basic mage. They can see through that.
Not only that, but these things don't eat on the spot. They pick up, they return. So you would have to maintain a fully tangible illusion for a very long time while this thing flies at very fast speeds back to its den.
Also, Patton, as you're sort of looking out around the landscape, if you ever switch that to that heat vision thing, airs around here are ridiculously turbulent. As the area is heating and cooling ridiculously rapidly, just fluctuating all over the place. If you tried to just fly one of your drones out there, it would get sucked up into some weird updraft and sucked off to nowhere.
Excuse me.
God, I wish that were me.
Fuck you guys.
So Elias, you were saying that it takes its prey, carries it up through the air, takes it back home, eats it, and it comes right back out for round two, right?
No. It would not consume... It would consume a very minimal amount of food during the night, mostly stocking up for the day.
Okay. It depends on whether it's male or female.
Well, and if it's nesting or not, though, I can't imagine it would be.
Why
what
not?
What a wacky condition that would be.
Well, for the simple fact that there just it shouldn't be enough prey here to sustain a mating couple.
They don't raise their young as a couple.
That we've never okay, history. I don't know if this is history, but like there would have been tales or at least you know.
I mean, we're kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Of you don't hide a wyvern.
If there's absolutely no one living nearby, you can. If they don't
they
need to travel that
but,
far.
But if it's a mating pair, they range. They would range. They don't raise the young together, and that means that they don't stay together afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way nobody's... People would have heard tales and whispers of, like, wyverns out west.
Wyverns aren't that uncommon. There's plenty of them. There's plenty of them over in New York. Just flying around the...
But this is a big boy.
Yeah, it's a pretty big one. It's not... I think you're overestimating how ridiculous it is. It's not that ridiculous. It's definitely an apex predator, but it's not like something nobody would ever have heard of. It's just really weird to see one this far out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We didn't hear... No, like,
but nobody comes out here. You're in the middle of nowhere.
I still feel like
nobody comes out here.
Fine, let me roll nature to see if I think there's enough prey to support that many. Like, two. That's 22.
On a 22?
Oh, no, 20, or 26, sorry.
Considering the flight range of one of these things, in order to support two wyverns, you just need to have, like, one herd of cattle in, like, this half-state area. These things could pretty easily just fly from like patch to patch of these high mana density areas, glide their way to the other ones and live pretty decently. There's definitely not more than like two, right. But it's not like it would be entirely unreasonable for there to be two.
All right, so then let's form a checklist of information that we need before we can start the hunt in earnest. We need to know if it's male or female. We need to know if it's brooding or not. And we need to know where its roost is.
You guys are going about this in a much more intelligent way than I expected you to.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
I literally expected you to go like, let's make wingsuits and fight the Wyvern, which would have been sick.
Yeah, and we would have died.
I'm still mad that you're not doing it.
No. This is some bad DMing. You can't do this to us. You literally can't because
build
you always...
wing suits.
This is fucking hot bullshit because you're always like, hey, you got, why didn't you guys think through your plan more? And then you're like, why didn't you guys think through the plan? You should have just done stupid cool shit.
Launch John out of
fuck
a cannon.
Give John hell, two yes. knives... and put him on the ballista.
No, it said normally your guys' not thought through plans are, hit it.
I mean, that's...
Okay, like, Elias wanders out into the fucking flame forest with a knife.
Yeah.
Let's go. The full crocodile bitch. Hunter.
I'm not saying that it's too thought out. I'm saying it's not radical enough. But it is very in character.
It's going to be radical when I wrestle this stupid dragon to the ground and stunning palm its neck off.
Actually, Elias, it's a wyvern.
Whatever. It's going to be dead.
Right. So, anyway.
So, phase one is we have to gather the info. Phase two is we have to get some kind of prey that we can attach littler bro as a tracking mechanism to find out where it's roosting at.
Okay, so yep. Here's what we do then. Well, okay, here's the thing. If you can have Littler Bro fly real, real low below all of these stalks, like it can fit through in between them, right?
Yeah, it'll be a little dangerous, but it can flit in between. It's pretty tiny.
Yeah, if it can go in between the stalks below where they're exploding, that'll be like based, I mean, it won't be super stable, but if you can find where that prey is, and then basically have Littler Bro set off a big explosion around it as it embeds the tracker into the prey.
Yeah, because
draw it up.
He could just dig right into something's flank. Hmm. I mean, he's pretty sharp. He could just
or
dig
just or
right
just,
in there.
I would prefer it was a tracker that you have Littler Bro attached to the prey, and then have Littler Bro deactivate immediately.
So you've got a game plan and everything, right?
Some semblance of a game plan.
So this is sounding to me like a skills challenge. It sounds like you've got all of your stated goals.
True.
The Monster Hunter episode.
So what exactly is everybody going to be doing to achieve this goal? Is somebody going to be going out like in a car to be the storm chasers? To kind of like actually give you on the ground tracking info about what it's doing and stuff like that.
John, I can do that.
If anyone should be doing that, Jerry should be doing that.
Yeah, Jerry. I would assume that it's Jerry and John, like in the car on the ground, sort of like wrangling it and like tracking it, you know?
Well, not engaging directly with it because these things fucking remember stuff.
Right, but kind of doing the storm chaser role.
Yes.
Actually, all of you are going to need to be in the car.
Well, no, what I was going to do is I was going to move along with Littler Brother to help it move through the field.
Oh, you were going to be on the ground in the field?
Well, because otherwise that thing's going to... There's no way, John, even with like the remote controls, if the wind blows weird or something happens and it gets knocked out, the whole thing goes to shit. If I can move along with it,
you can help protect it.
Yeah, and all I need is Jerry to close to it, but not super close. And I just need Jerry to keep giving me concealment and cover.
Mm-hmm. And then Patton, you've got a limited range on these things, so you're probably going to need to be in the car with them as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
So as we're getting started on this, however, it dawns on you, Patton, that you don't really have like a particularly good control system for like incredibly well-refined control on this thing, right? Because you're going to need to pinpoint target locations, and you're going to need to build a targeter. So, why don't you describe to me how you're going to modify your crossbow or other assorted gear to actually accomplish this task? Like, are you going to build the control system into your crossbow to, like, or what are you going to do? Like, are you doing, like, a point and, like a laser tracker system?
One of the main reasons that I lose finesse when controlling Lil Bro or Littler Bro is the distance between where the signal's coming out to them. Mm-hmm. So what I could do here is, so along the pathway that we're going, any of the more open patches, I have a modified bolt that is kind of a, not a transceiver, what's the word?
A signal booster?
Yeah, a signal booster that I can put in different spots to kind of to keep the connection strong as it goes from point to point to point to point, as I kind of mark mm-hmm. the way with these bolts so that I can keep the finer controls.
Okay, so as you start to tinker with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see in your heads-up display, a blueprint shows up.
Ooh.
With some enhancements here, including the schematics for those bolts that you want to make. And give me a perception check.
That's a one.
On a nat one?
That's a nat one.
Yep, it's Kelp.
Oh.
I'm very absorbed with my work.
Really great. So, on a nat one, you're just going to hear, like, seemingly directly in your ear, "You're welcome."
Uh-oh.
In sort of a tinny voice.
I like it. It's cool. It's good.
And these schematics are going to show you how to build a targeting repeating crossbow plus two.
Ooh.
This is a level 8 weapon.
Hot damn.
Critical 1d6 damage per plus, and the target grants combat advantage until the end of your next turn. Power daily, free action. Trigger, you hit an enemy with an attack using this weapon. Effect, until the end of your next turn, you and your allies can roll twice on attack rolls against that enemy and use either result.
Yo.
So targeting weapon plus two repeating crossbow?
Correct, from the Adventurer's Vault 2.
Hot diggity daffodil.
Repeating crossbow.
Did I miss the step in between Nat 1 and getting a new cool weapon?
The Nat 1 was figuring out why the hell that just happened
okay,
to
good.
Him.
I understand.
Thank you. I'll just respond, thank you. And just start, there we go, just start making the improvements.
No yeah, you're deal. Pretty absorbed in your work there, but yeah, the thing that you noticed though is that these aren't just like bland schematics. These are very clearly built off of your current crossbow.
Uh-oh.
Like it's got your fully automatic system built in that you made yourself, but you've got absolutely no idea where this came from. For all you know, this just kind of like popped out of your head and. Whatever software you got in there is just giving it, like, form.
Well, I mean, hey, don't look a gift repeating plus two crossbow in the mouth.
Yeah, and the rest of you guys are going to see Patton gets to work on this, like, fast. Just, like fast and precise.
So, nothing like Patton.
Yeah, nothing explodes.
Nothing explodes? You were right over there?
Nothing explodes. John, give me a perception check.
Uh-oh. 22.
Okay. So, as you, like, go over to Patton, see if he's okay, like, as you get close to him while he's doing that, out of the corner of your eye, out in the field, you see that girl that you saw at the Tenali facility sort of look at you from out in the field and then just turn around and walk into the field of the burning grasses.
Ah, one of those memes.
I don't think John knows the word meme.
One of those tropes from those mini cowboy shows I watch.
Alright. Patton's fine.
John's doing the stoic thing.
You're just gonna keep that to yourself?
Probably. Yeah, that's perfect. That is a perfectly reasonable thing to do. He's allowed to do so. Don't bully.
I'm not bullying him, I'm just concerned.
John thinks he knows what's going on. And he doesn't think it's all that important. Or at least dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous is a better word for it.
Right.
Immediately important.
So, as you guys are starting to gear up for this skills challenge here, why don't you guys all roll me initiative as we cut the episode? Because, you know, it's been an hour and a half.
Woo! So let's do the outro plugs right now, and then we'll do the rolls and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, my name's Tad. I play Patton, and I've got a really good name for this tracking system, but I really hope I don't bungle it up. Mom, let me tell you about it's on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play. Same area you find this podcast on, which is the website lmtya.com or letmetellyouabout.moe on Twitter at letmetellyoupd, in the Discord in the description. And Michael.
I'm Michael. I play Elias on this podcast, and I also stream video games on Twitch at twitch.tv/bro_operatives with Daniel, who is the DM. And Daniel, go ahead.
Oh, well, we're passing it over to me? I thought you were going to pass it over to somebody completely different as a gag. But yeah, you pretty much said it all. Come talk to me on the Let Me Tell You About Discord. We got a revival channel there that's a lot of fun if you want to talk about cool things about D&D or other tabletop games, especially other tabletop games. Like if you got a cool Fate or like werewolf story, just tell me it. I want to know. Shadowrun, very fun.
Shadowfun.
Shadowfun. That's the name of it. We play video games. We have fun here. Tim, save me.
Hi, I'm Tim. Tim, with an M. I play John. And I'm on the Discord, and yeah, I'm Matt. You're in.
Alright, I'm Matt. I play Jerry. I can be found on Twitter at LMTYAMatt, and you can also find me on iTunes on The Sweet Life of Matt and Cody, new episode being released whenever this is being recorded, so like probably 2 months ago, but we reviewed Avengers Infinity War. It's pretty cool. Very cool.
I think that's about it. Thanks for listening, you guys, and we'll see
send
you next time.
Send in questions to the show.
That too.
Do it.
To the email.
Send questions to the show.
@gmail.com. No one can hear the email because I was talked over, but that's their problem. See you guys later.